If I can invite you to remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. And he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I can invite you to be seated, please. Before I begin this morning, I just wanted to share with you all and just, you know, congratulate. We had many of our youth and children participate in the fair this last week. Some of them are here. Some of them are home, which I'm not surprised. We had sheep, goats, dairy heifers, artwork, quilts, photographs. Lots of awards were won, and so congratulations to those that participated. And, you know, it was just neat seeing and being there with you all and getting to see their accomplishments. So we just congratulate them today. And then before I begin this morning, I just wanted to share with you that today we're wrapping up our summer sermon series, where we've taken time each Sunday to look at different individuals or characters from the Bible that we might consider a superhero. Because of the way that this man or these women chose to serve God and chose to be active in God's plan for humanity and for their lives. And so each week we've looked at someone who in some way has put themselves at risk, either by responding to the call that God had placed on their life, or in the way that they chose to follow the God. In any case, all of these people in some way have had to put themselves forward in response to what God is doing for them and in their life, or in the way that God was using them for someone else. And so each week in this series, I've also tried to have some fun with this, and I've tried to connect our superhero from the Bible with a superhero from culture, specifically those that we read about in the comic books and the newspaper strips and the movies and television programs. And so before we begin with this morning's superhero, I have a picture that I have to offer to you all, simply because I've had it on my phone since June, and I haven't used it in this series yet. So there you go. I should have used it July 4th weekend, but I did the slideshow for the sermon, and then that Sunday morning, all of a sudden thought, oh man, that was the day. But it's just funny. Superheroes water skiing. Okay. So this morning, I want to begin by briefly looking at a superhero, and I have to admit to you all that this is one that I'm not as familiar with. And so as I've done for much of this sermon series, what I normally do is I don't start with the superhero and then try and figure out what biblical character is going to fit, because that doesn't always work. I usually start with the biblical character and the message that I feel that the scripture is saying and that I think we need to hear. And then I call my friend Dare and I say, "Hey, this week I'm talking about so-and-so. Here's the message. Here's where I'm going with this. I really need a superhero." Actually, I text him. I don't even call him. And so I usually get, you know, three or four superheroes, and I say, "Well, what about this? What about this?" And we'll go back and forth, usually on Tuesdays, and then, you know, I'm able to get the sermon together. And so this past week, I contacted Dare because I told him who we were looking at, which is going to be the Apostle Peter, which is a little different. He's New Testament. He's also someone that has a very unique and very important role in getting out the Christian faith. And so, you know, when I contacted him, he suggested a superhero who was created by Stan Lee, the man who's had a hand in creating some of the most famous superheroes and comic book characters in the world. And he suggested a superhero named Daredevil. I don't know a lot about Daredevil. I know now that there's a TV show with Daredevil. There's been movies with Daredevil recently. But Daredevil first appeared in the comics in 1968. And the origin is that he was a young man named Matt Murdock who was raised in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood in New York City by his father. His father was a boxer. He worked hard in school so he wouldn't have to become a boxer in his own life. And his father worked hard in boxing to make sure that his son wouldn't have to live the life that he himself was living. When boxing opportunities began to run out, his father began working for a local mob boss as an enforcer. And while he was away, his son began to train secretly on his father's equipment. And so Matt's story changed, and he became a superhero when he saw a blind man crossing the street who was about to be hit by a truck. He quickly ran to the man, he pushed him out of the way, and as he did, I don't know if it was a canister or something, radioactive waste splashed on his head, on his face, blinding him. His vision was gone, but with his vision gone, all of his other senses became heightened as he could use his smell and his taste and his hearing and to accommodate and to compensate for no longer being able to see. And so he was able to piece together like a vision, like radar, where he could see outlines of people and shapes that he would have normally seen with his eyes. And so his story, he continues with his loss of eyesight. He continues going to school and working hard and goes to law school at Columbia Law in New York. And shortly before he graduated, his father was murdered due to his side job as an enforcer for that mob boss. And so after graduation, he starts a law office with a friend from school, and he begins to make a plan to avenge his father's death as Daredevil, as he used his radar sense and then his martial arts, you know, background to save others. After avenging his father's death, Matt Murdock continued as the Daredevil as he teamed up with Spider-Man and other superheroes to protect others. All right, the thing that I found is really interesting about this story, and I think the thing that ties it to our biblical character today, is that in this story as Daredevil, this young man, this man is struck with guilt. As he does what he has to do to save others, he's struck with guilt. And unlike the other superheroes, I found a really interesting article on the spiritual faith of superheroes. He doesn't withdraw into himself when this guilt strikes him. You know, Batman, we see him in the cartoons and in the movies. When he's struck with something deep, he retreats into the Batcave, doesn't he? And he's down. Or Superman leaves and goes away and then comes back. All of these characters cope with their whatever issues they have in a different way. And this character goes to the Catholic Church, where he talks to the priest in confession. And this frequent confession is what keeps him going and helps him to know what he's doing is right. In an article, there's this Catholic thing website that I found, and they said this about Daredevil: there's just something deeply appealing about a man whose Catholic guilt forces him to don red tights and venture out onto the streets each night to battle ninjas and psychopaths. But see, I think that's what makes his story unique, and this is where it ties into Peter's story, is that even as he recognizes his shortcomings, even as he feels guilt by what he has to do to save others, he turns to a higher being, doesn't he? And we see that God still uses him no matter what he's done, which is just like the story of Peter, as we're about to see in a minute, is that God was not done using him. See, the first scripture that we read this morning comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And to set the stage for this morning's scripture, Matthew 14, you could preach this whole chapter, and it's chock full of good ideas and good scripture, because we read first that Jesus is traveling with the disciples up north in the region around the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus discovers that John the Baptist has been beheaded. So in the first part of Matthew 14, Herod has captured, Herod Antipas, one of Herod's sons, has taken and imprisoned John the Baptist. And his challenge, you know, he offers, he tells someone, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And she says, bring John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so John the Baptist is killed. John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. John has baptized Jesus. John has gone ahead to prepare the way, to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And so Jesus is up north in the region around the Sea of Galilee when he finally hears the news that John the Baptist has died. And so he's stricken by this, with grief. And so Jesus decides, after learning of John's death, that he needs to withdraw from the crowds in order to deal with that grief and to spend time in prayer and to just do the things that he needs to do, that we all need to do when we face news of grief, or news that brings us grief. And so he wants to withdraw. And I think it's interesting that the crowds, instead of leaving him alone, they choose to follow him. And they head into the mountains surrounding the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains on all four sides. And so Jesus went up into the mountains, anticipating, expecting that he'd be left alone to pray. And instead, the crowds begin to follow him. And so the second story in Matthew 14 is that Jesus saw that the crowds were hungry. And there wasn't enough food in the neighboring villages. They wouldn't have been able to go and buy food for the number of people that they were. And so Jesus asked the disciples to find what food was available. And the disciples did. And Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And the scripture said that 5,000 men and an uncounted number of women and children ate that day. All right, so Jesus has learned of John the Baptist's death and now has fed the multitudes. And then he sent the disciples to get into a boat. And he told them to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side, which wouldn't have been the side that Israel was. The other side is the Gerasenes, which is Greek. And so it's to go to another land almost, while he dismissed the crowds. And so after he dismissed the crowds, Jesus went to the mountain by himself to pray. And while he was there, evening came. And then night came. And while Jesus was on the mountain praying, a storm blew in on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were out on the boat, getting tossed about by the wind and the waves. See, I picture the disciples rowing like crazy and nothing happening. You know, they row forward and they get forward, and then the wind pushes them back, forward, back, forward, back. And so the night passes and early morning comes, and Jesus looks out and sees the boat being tossed about by the water. And he approaches the disciples by walking on the water towards the boat. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think. They wondered if the person walking toward them was a ghost or something else. And Jesus called out to them and he says, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." And so Peter, who's this morning's individual we're talking about from the Scripture, says, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out to the water. Or order me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter steps out of the boat. He steps on the water. He begins to walk towards Jesus until he begins to look around and become afraid, and he begins to sink. And as he begins to sink, he calls out to Jesus, "Lord, help me." Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him and pulls them out of the water, and they get on the boat together and they return and continue their journey, all of them, towards the shore. And the scripture says, as they were on the boat, the disciples worshiped Jesus and said, "Surely you are God's Son." See, I think there's many different sermons that we can preach with this scripture. There are many different thoughts that come to mind when we study this scripture. We might look at the disciples' fear and their wonder as they saw someone walking across the water to them. We might think of how Jesus was able to actually walk on the water. But this morning, I think what we have to look at and think about is the story of Peter. Because in Peter's case, I think we can look up someone who was willing to follow Jesus, but whose faith was also had a bit of doubt in it. Didn't it? See, Peter was willing to step forward when he said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out onto the water." He was willing to step out when Jesus said, "Come." He modeled faith, didn't he? I mean, what a perfect example of faith. Yet Peter also shows us, I think, an even better example of a life of half faith. See, I think Peter gives us such a perfect example of what it means to... Peter's us. You know, believing that what God wants us to do is what we need to do, and being willing to take that first step, while in the back of our minds, something sure is pulling our second foot back and saying, are you sure? And being willing to connect with someone and doing what you can, while at the same time thinking, well, I don't really know. So I think that's why Peter's story is so amazing. And I think part of that reason is why Jesus picked Peter to lead the disciples, to lead the early church. Because he knew Peter's heart. He knew that Peter's faith was there, and that he had pledged to follow Jesus wherever he was going, and that he was willing to go where Jesus was going to take him. But at the same time, he always had this little bit of faith that was mixed, or this little bit of fear that was mixed into his faith. His faith was mixed with doubt. His faith was the same faith that so many of the disciples had. And so many of us have today. See, we want to be able to say to God, I'm all in. But yet, sometimes we also say, I'm all in, but. Right? I'm all in, but. I'm all in, but I don't really know about this. I'm all in, but I'm not really feeling that confident in terms of what you're wanting me to do. I'm willing to go as you're willing to send me, but at the same time, I don't really know unless you're going to be there. See, Peter's faith was mixed. And so when he stepped out in faith onto the surface of that water, he stopped believing. He stopped thinking, and he allowed that little bit of fear to overwhelm his faith. And he began to sink, and he had to call out to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, save me. See, but I think in this morning's story, what makes Peter a superhero is he didn't allow this little bit of fear mixed in with his faith to dictate and to determine who he was as a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't allow this example of allowing that little bit of fear to come in and to cause him to doubt in his belief, to put him off track in terms of where he knew God wanted him to be and where he believed Jesus was leading him. See, because if we continue with the Scriptures, Peter's like the perfect example of this. Lord, I'll follow you, but, oh, I'm sinking in the water, come save me. Later, Jesus says, you're going to deny me 3 times. And what does Peter say? Oh, Lord, of course I'm not going to deny you. And then he did. But see, I think the amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about the life that God promises us and the grace that God offers us through His Son is He uses us even when we have a little bit of fear mixed in with our faith. Because look at Peter's story. In the book of Acts, at the very beginning, in Acts chapter 2, the early Christians are gathered there in the house. And they're spending time in prayer, and they're waiting fearfully, not knowing what's going to happen to them. They're wondering if the authorities are going to come after them like they came after Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they had tongues of fire lighting on their heads, and they were able to speak in different tongues and languages, and Jews from all over the known world were there, and they heard him, and they heard them. And so they came to the house, and the Scripture says that Peter was the one that went out to the house, and he said, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. And he began to tell them about the grace, about the love, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, God allowed this man who had faith with a little bit of fear to be used. God didn't allow those times that Peter just got off track to be things that disqualified him from serving and from following him. And so I think as we read this message today, I think what it tells us is that there's nothing that we can do that God doesn't say, I'm done with you. You're still part of my plan. You're still part of what I believe needs to be done and of who I believe needs to take the gift of grace into the world and who can help lead and provide change in the lives of your community and others. See, there's nothing that disqualifies us. Peter, if he's going to step out on the water and start sinking, that didn't disqualify him. Peter, if God came to him and Jesus said, "You're going to deny me," and Peter said, "Of course I'm not," and then he did, that didn't deny him. There are multiple ways that we can look at Peter and the other apostles and see how their little bit of fear overwhelmed their faith. But yet God still used them, just as God uses us. I think the amazing thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that God never calls us or expects us to have a perfect faith. God allows us to strive towards being more perfect, to strive towards making decisions for, while we consider what He wants for us in our lives. God allows us to look to Him for guidance and for direction as we make choices and do the things and live the life that we live. But the thing that the Scripture shows us and that the Gospel offers us is that God uses us even knowing that we're imperfect. Is that God can use me even when I have a little bit of fear and a little bit of doubt, just like God can use you. See, I think the thing that what makes Peter such a superhero today is that he didn't allow his little bit of fear mixed in with his whole lot of faith to derail who he was. He didn't allow those things that he did to knock him off the path that he was on and to knock him away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and from this life and message and this person that he had chosen to follow. See, and I think the awesome thing in all of it is that God still used him. As he was still used to accomplish God's plan, even in the times that he faltered, even in the times where he got tripped up, he was still part of God's work. And so the message for us, I believe, is that God is never done with us. Is that we may have a little bit of fear mixed into our faith, but God still uses us. And if we open ourselves to His Spirit, if we open ourselves to His leading and to His guiding, well then like Peter, we can still do great things. Not for our glory, but for His. Amen.